Excited to be here today and excited for this very first part. I don't know what's going to happen, but we've got elementary kids with us today in service. And some of you are in an independent school district and have been learning a little bit about the quote we're going to start with. So here's our quote. And if you're in kindergarten to fifth grade, please pay attention to at least this very beginning. So begin with the end in mind. It's a quote originally from Stephen Covey, but independent school district has picked up some curriculum, I think written by one of his kids, maybe. And so they've been learning about some of these things. So does any elementary kid want to tell us what does that mean, to begin with the end in mind? Sequoia, okay. So you got to hold the mic real close. So what does it mean to begin with the end in mind? Do you want to share? You don't have to share. Can you explain it? Yeah. Okay. Do you want to say something? What? Yeah. Is it about begin with the end of mind? It is. No? Okay. Any other elementary kids that have got from Independence? No? So. Okay. Samuel, do you know what it means? To begin with the end in mind? So when we don't, I didn't pre-rig anything with them, obviously. So I was thinking like, oh man, the school district's doing this. They've got songs. Yeah. So. Begin with the end in mind. It's tricky to stand up in front of everybody and talk. Real quick, whenever you see somebody up here giving announcements, you need to thank Jesus for them. Because adults, when I ask, the thing I get turned down from the most when I'm like, hey, can you help me out, is that announcement spot. It's tricky to talk in front of everybody. So thank you, Sequoia, for trying. And begin with the end in mind is a Stephen Covey idea of before you start doing something, you should think about how do you want this to be when it's all done. And he starts in kind of a gloomy place. I'm assuming the elementary students don't normally start exactly the way he starts, with like end of life, like how do you want it to go. But when you're getting started with building your family, think about what do you want Christmas to look like when your kids have kids. And kind of play that scenario in your mind, like really play it in your mind. Like what do you want? You want your kids to come back, hang out with you guys, have a meal with you guys. If you want your kids to travel to see you, like what might you do right now as they're really little so that you would build that? Does that make sense? So just by spending a little bit of imagination time on like how do I want this to turn out, it helps guide like what you should be doing in the here and now. Even with your job, when you show up to the first day of your job, think about where do I want this to go? Who do I want to be? What do I want around me 5 years from now? And you think through that, and you think like, what do I need to do today to make that happen? Does that make sense? Okay. So that's a Stephen Covey thing. And the idea here is over your whole life, a lot of people live their life and they don't put a ton of thought into how they want it to turn out or who they want to become as they're going through life. And you can do some stuff in your teens, and your 20s, and your 30s, and your 40s, and your 50s, and your 60s, and your 70s that are hard to undo. Does that make sense? Like, you can't just be motivated when you're 83 of like, man, I want to have a good relationship with everybody. You know, like, it's hard to pull that off, right? Okay, so today we're going to be talking about somebody who had a legacy beyond their life. And I want us thinking a little bit about, like, when we aren't here on earth anymore, what sort of legacy do we want to leave behind? So we're finishing up the series we've been in with Christmas, preparing the way. And for some of us, we're like, okay, Christmas is done. Like, we're moving on. But we've been looking at the life of John the Baptist, and today we're going to look at one last passage about him. It's actually about him, even though it happens after he's been killed, after his time here on earth's done. And it talks about the legacy that he left. I think it's got something to point to us as we're right in New Year's time. We're into maybe thinking about what do we want to change. But let's begin with the end in mind. John the Baptist lived his life really well. What was the impact he left? And then for you guys to be thinking, what's the impact I want to leave? Okay? So if you guys will turn your Bibles with me, we've just got a few verses in our main passage today. It's John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 is an amazing chapter. If you don't have anywhere to read in your Bible tomorrow, I would say John chapter 10 would be a great place. It talks about a lot of great stuff. These last few verses get overlooked because there's so much goodness about Jesus being our shepherd at the beginning of the chapter and throughout it. So these last verses are easy to miss. But we're going to start in verse 40 of chapter 10. And I think we have it here on the screen as well. So it says, then Jesus almost gets killed, the way that he's talking. And this is where we pick up. It says, then Jesus went back across the Jordan, that's a river, to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. And there Jesus stayed. We're going to pause here for a second. So, the early days, right? If you've been doing something for a while, maybe you're like, man, it was fun back here when so-and-so was here and so-and-so was here, right? It seems like even Jesus' disciples have some nostalgia for when his ministry is first starting off. And in the early days of all that stuff, John the Baptist was baptizing a bunch of people, right? And Jesus goes back to that location, and he hangs out there for a little bit. So verse 41. And many people came to Jesus. They said, though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. So here's a crowd of people, and they sum up John's life in one sentence. And think about yourself up to this point. If we asked a crowd of people in your neighborhood or at work or whatever, crowd of people that knew you, if we said, sum up Brandon's life, if we said, sum up who Nevaeh is, sum up Cassie, like what's the sentence that would come up a lot? And maybe it's a sentence that makes you really proud, right? And you want to keep doing that same thing. Or maybe you think like, ooh, I hope they don't ask those folks, right? I hope they don't ask this person, right? It's a pretty amazing statement, right? Like John the Baptist didn't do any miracles. There wasn't something super flashy about John the Baptist, right? We talked about he's kind of weird. He dressed weird. He ate weird. He lived in a strange place. And he's not miraculous, right? He's not a superhuman or something. But he lived this sort of life that at the end of it, people were saying everything John said about Jesus was true. It's a pretty big statement. The next verse is an even bigger deal. Here's verse 42. And in that place, many believed in Jesus. So the legacy that John the Baptist left is when people are really struggling and right before this, people wanting to kill Jesus because of what he's saying about himself. But there's something about John the Baptist's life that when people are reminded of John the Baptist, they're more open to Jesus. They're ready to accept Jesus when other people want to kill him. They're ready to believe in him. And believe in the Gospel of John, I mean, he gets at this idea of trust. He gets at this idea of following Jesus, right? Like, Jesus has some biological brothers who are all about him becoming famous, and it says because they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't really understand or trust Jesus, right? But here, people that had been around John the Baptist, they were way more open to trust in Jesus when Jesus showed up. And we think about what's the legacy that you want to leave behind in your life, it could just be this like path of destruction, right? Of just all sorts of stuff got worse as you like blew through it, right? Or it could be this negativity, or it could be like, I've never seen somebody get so mad at a Chiefs game. Or, you know, like, I don't know. Like, what could be the legacy? What are people going to say to sum you up when you're out of the room? What if it was, even when you're gone, when people are reminded of you, they're ready for Jesus. They're more open to Jesus. They say everything this person said about Jesus was true. This person wasn't that big of a deal on their own, but they said some stuff about Jesus that stuck with me. Right? So I got this next picture of, I don't know if this guy's an Olympian or what, but he just can jump a lot higher than me. I just know from, I can know one picture of somebody and just know like that guy's a lot more athletic than I am, right? I don't know how high the bar is up over the ground, but I also could tell you, like, I can't jump over it. I don't even know. I don't know how high it is, but just that it's that hard for him, I don't think I can get there, right? And sometimes we look at somebody in the Bible and we're like, we look at it like we look at that guy, like, well, that's impressive, but that's not me. Like, it's so not me, I'm not even going to try, right? You know, like, when we look at John the Baptist, you can have that feeling of like, I'm not going to be like that guy. I want to take us through a few practical verses. We're going to bounce around a little bit, but a few practical verses about how do we have this sort of character to where our life has this impact, right? And the first thing I want to point us to is something they said about John. They said everything John said about Jesus was true. My guess is you've met somebody who talks about Jesus being great, and then all the other stuff they say makes you not want to have anything to do with Jesus, right? Like, we don't have to point fingers or something, but like, we've all met somebody like that. We've probably met a bunch of them. A bunch of people that aren't at church today have met people like that, right? Who say some stuff about Jesus, but the other stuff they say kind of ruins the stuff they say about Jesus, right? Why is that? Well, Luke, this is another quote from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, I believe it's chapter 6, yeah. Jesus says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his what? In his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Yeah. I can think of a lot of things I said, but then I would be really offended if somebody quoted the second part of that verse back to me. You know? Because I'd be pretty ashamed, right? When you reflect of like the mouth speaks what the heart's full of, and you think about like that just came out of my mouth, right? Your mouth bubbles up whatever is going on inside of your heart. And you can try to control it, you can try to like filter it, but at some point, like the real stuff comes out, right? Whether it's when you're in traffic or when your kids say dad or mom for the 75th time in less than 60 seconds or whatever it is, it like gets under your skin and stuff starts coming out of you. And it's easy to say, oh, that's their fault, that's this thing's fault, it's because of that. But Jesus is saying the stuff that comes out of your mouth is connected to your heart. Like if there's bad stuff coming out of your mouth, it's because there's stuff inside of your heart. Right? Now, we can't fix our hearts, and I'm going to get us there of like, how do we get to Jesus helping us? But sometimes we jump straight to, I can't fix myself, Jesus is the answer, and we leave it kind of vague, and we just walk out of here not really any different. It's like we can't hold on to Jesus, right? And obeying what the Bible tells us is actually the way that we open up to more of Jesus. And I want to get pretty practical here on what comes out of our mouth. This is just a verse in Proverbs, but I feel like this one will lead us to receiving more Jesus in our heart. So this verse in Proverbs, it's kind of poetic, but it's got something great to say to us. This is the integrity of the upright does what for them? Guides them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Now, these are some big words, right? But integrity at its most basic just means that you speak the truth or you do what you say. Sometimes people will come to me very confused about what should they do next, and they want to know God's will, and since like I have pastor by my name sometimes, they're like, oh, I'll just ask him, and I don't have to think about it, right? And they'll dump out this crazy scenario to me, and then they'll be like, what does God want me to do? Sometimes it's a very easy answer, because in their story, they will have mentioned, like, I said blank. And it's like, well, if you made a promise, and it's not a terrible, terrible idea, like, then you should do the thing you said you're going to do, right? They're like, you don't really need to seek God's will if you know how to be honest. You know, I mean, like, there's an honest option or a dishonest option. I think we know what God wants you to do, you know? Do the thing you said you're going to do. There can be exceptions to that, right? Like, there can be times that the thing you said you're going to do is so bad or so wrong that you need to go to the person and say, I'm sorry I said that. I was wrong. I can't do that, right? Most of the time, if we will just do the stuff we said we're going to do, we will become a better person over time. Now, what do I mean by that? If you start paying attention to the stuff that you say you're going to do, the stuff that you say, you're like, I'm going to make that honest. Stage one of that will be you'll be even busier than you are right now. You'll be even grumpier than you are right now. You'll be kind of a mess, right? Like things get worse before they get better. And when you start trying to do all the stuff that comes out of your mouth, the first stage of that's going to be uglier, right? You're going to feel weaker. Just like when you start exercising, sometimes you feel worse after the first day of exercise, right? You don't feel healthier. But all that pain of trying to live up to the stuff coming out of your mouth, it's going to open you up to some really healthy things. It's going to open you up to praying more of like, Jesus, I said I'm going to be in these two places and I don't know how on earth I can get there. And I'm speeding, but please forgive me. You know, or whatever. You know, like, at least you're talking to Jesus in saying, I need your help. You're also going to start seeing the times that you're dishonest. And it's trying to be obedient, it guides you into the truth. And Jesus talks about the truth sets you free. How does it set you free? One of the things it sets you free from is thinking that you're okay. Like, I'm not okay. You're not okay. Like, none of us are okay on our own, right? But until we start trying to act right, we don't even realize that we're not okay. When you start trying to just be honest, you'll start seeing that I'm not totally honest, which is pretty humbling to realize I told that person I'd be there and then I wasn't there. Or I said I'd do this thing tonight and I didn't do it until 2 days later, or whatever it might be, right? There's a lot less anxiety about, like, what should I do if you just do the things you said you're going to do. Now, that sounds, okay, again, it sounds really simple. Over time, as it's really painful, you're staying up really late getting that thing done that you said you're going to have done or whatever, it teaches you, like, I should be slower to make promises. I should be slower to make commitments. I should be slower to say stuff that I don't want to do or don't intend to do. And that's wisdom, right? You're starting to slow down the stuff coming out of your mouth. If you want less evil stuff coming out of your mouth, like, just saying less stuff is positive direction, right? You start committing less, right? You start being a person of integrity, piece by piece. How does it happen? It happens because you're trying to do the right thing. You're failing, but you're asking God for help. And over time, He starts changing your heart. You get to know yourself better, right? Eventually, like, as that curve goes up, as you actually start becoming a person who does what you say you're going to do, people will start to trust you. When you don't overpromise and people trust you, there's a lot of good stuff that starts to happen in your life, right? Like, you don't have to be crazy busy to be effective when you don't overspeak and when people trust you. Like, a lot of stuff goes better in life, right? Like, things start to be more blessed, right? But your relationship with God, when you come in and worship, there's not this whole, like, oh man, I got to really clean out all the junk. There's this idea of, like, a purity of heart. It starts to be easier to see God, like Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes, right? Okay, so some of you are here and you're like, okay, Jake, like, that's enough of, like, this, what you say you're going to do. That's the practical piece. I'm going to talk to us about the spiritual piece now. But real quick check-in, if you're not up for doing the practical, if you're not up for doing the piece that's really within your power, don't expect God to do the piece that's out of your power. God has crazy mercy. God sometimes will give us all sorts of stuff we don't deserve. But in my experience with praying for stuff, when I have something real obvious that's within my grasp that I could do and I don't do it, like, God doesn't show up the same way as when I do my little bit and then ask for help, right? Like, I don't have to fix the whole thing. I just have to try on the part that is in my grasp, right? And then God will move the mountains, right? But if I got a shovel next to me and I'm not digging, like, then God doesn't show up to move the mountain. Does that make sense? So it's very spiritual, but it is practical as well. This is a little bit earlier in John chapter 10. Jesus is talking about being the good shepherd, but he also talks about this I am statement of I am the gate. And because this one's sandwiched in a couple of great verses, it doesn't get a lot of attention. But Jesus says, I am the gate. He's talking about us being the sheep. He says, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, I want to talk to you about this verse. You know, John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me, right? whatever you believe about God, if you have any acceptance of Jesus, then you got to come to grips with Jesus as saying, I'm the only way. So you got to either accept Jesus or reject Jesus with these sorts of statements, right? Like, he's not leaving room for anybody else as the way to get to God. But this passage has a similar idea of, like, the only way to get to salvation, to get to healthy health in our souls, health in our relationship with God, is to go through Jesus. The thing about this, though, is a gate for sheep, it's not something like you come through once, right? This isn't like immigrating to America and you do it once and you get a stamp or something and then you're done. This sheep do this every single day, right? Like every day they go into the gate, every day they come out of the gate. If a sheep stayed out in the pasture all night, they'd be super vulnerable to getting attacked. But if they stayed inside that little pen all day, they'd starve to death. Like, the flow for a sheep is to come in at the right time and go out at the right time. We're going to break this down a little bit more. For you and your life, if you're getting out your front door, whatever that door is, if you haven't spent any time with Jesus, if you haven't asked him for help, if you haven't taken a knee and said, Jesus, you're my king and you're my savior, help me, right? Something like that, right? Show me what to do. If you haven't said that, like, you haven't gone through the gate for that day. Like, we need Jesus' help before we go out in the world, right? It's not about like, oh man, I'm so scared I'm going to go to hell or something. It's not about like a hell, heaven thing in that moment. It's about like, I can't make it through 12 hours by myself without Jesus, right? Like, if I want to act like Jesus, I need to pass through him before I have conversations with other people, right? If you got other people you're living with, it'd be a good idea to do this right off the bat, right? My temptations don't start when I get in my car, right? You know, like, you got stuff with family members and things right out of the gate, right? Out of the gate. I wasn't trying to do that, but there we go. Thank you guys. So they'll come in and go out and find pasture. This is an interesting thing too here. Christians aren't meant to just come in where it's safe and always be safe with all the other Christians. If you saw a group of sheep that just stayed behind a fence and with all the other sheep, those are sheep that are going to die, right? Like, they destroy the grass that's in that little pen, and then there's nothing to eat. They have to go out to be healthy and strong, right? If you just sit and soak with other Christians and you don't interact with anybody else, you don't go out on any adventures with Jesus, it's not healthy. The stuff Jesus wants to do to grow you, it's out there, outside your front door, after you've asked him for help. Like, there's stuff he wants you to do that's going to make you strong as you do it with him. Sheep don't really go anywhere by themselves. Jesus isn't saying go somewhere without him. And even going with other Christians is good. But you don't just stay in safety scared, right? But the other thing Brianna was talking about of do for God, but not remain or be in love with him. If we flip a couple of slides forward. So there's the pasture we can go to. Sorry, I didn't tell us that earlier. But go one more slide. So this is Luna. This was my sheep that I had in my middle 20s. Rodolfo, my roommate, and I had a sheep for a little bit. There's a whole story there. But something I learned by having a sheep was sheep will eat an insane amount of grass. It is crazy how much grass this thing would eat. And they will swell to like double, triple the size. Like, their waist size would freak out a human, right? It goes from like this to like this, like in a day. They get huge. And then what that sheep wants to do until it has gotten huge is eat. It didn't care about anything but eating. But once it got huge, it no longer wanted to go eat grass. What it wanted to do was get somewhere safe. It would freak out if me or Rodolfo wasn't around. But if me or Rodolfo was around, it didn't want to cuddle or something. It didn't like us. It just wanted to be near us, right? As long as it was near us, it would get down and like fold its legs in this weird way. And like, it would just be this ball, because it was so fat. And then it would do something called chewing the cud, which is kind of a gross thing. It does it all internally, though, right? It doesn't spit anything out on the ground or anything. It would, sorry to get a little bit graphic, but like, yeah, it would throw up into its mouth, chew that, swallow it again. But for it, it just looks like kind of like a farmer chewing on a grass string or something. You know, like, it just, And it would just do that for like 6 hours or something, right? All it wanted to do was have a safe place to process all the stuff that it had taken in that day. Now, I know we went really deep there, right? Imagine if before you left your house, you're like, I'm going through you, Jesus. I'm passing through you before I face the day and the world and everything else. I need your help. But imagine then when you got home at some point before you went to sleep, you're like, Jesus, will you process all this with me in a safe place? You don't need the TV on. You don't need to be scrolling with your thumbs as you process. What if before you went to sleep, there's some sort of like, Jesus, what was the most important thing for my day? My guess is Jesus' most important thing for your day had something to do with like treating a kid with respect, or had something to do with asking somebody for forgiveness or helping somebody out that didn't have enough food. It wasn't the thing that you were worried about up until that moment, probably, right? What if you processed all that stuff with Jesus? Jesus, here's what I was worried about today. Jesus, here's what I think went well today. What do you think about it? Because then at that point, you're starting to have a healthy inside condition, right? You go through your day dependent on Jesus, but you process your day with Jesus. Like, I'm going to sit here and chew the cud with Jesus, right? I know that sounds silly, but like, some of us, we're out there doing so much for the world, and we've gotten really, like, we're like a balloon, right? But if you don't sit with Jesus and just hang out with him and talk about what's important, you're going to do a lot of stuff over your whole life, and you're going to miss out on what's important, right? We don't need to go into examples, right? But there's lots of people that did a lot for God, but their closest friends and their closest family, like, it's not a good legacy, right? And my guess is, like, they weren't on the same page with Jesus about what's most important, right? So, we went a lot of different places today. We're going to end really strong, whether we've been strong so far or not. Before we get there, Eddie's coming up, I think, for some baptisms. We've got one more picture for you. It's a very random picture. Just grabbed it off Unsplash, like, but it's just a little conversation between two people. Sometimes, if you've been connected to the Holy Spirit, you're having a conversation, you don't think it's a big deal, and suddenly you feel like God tells you, like, do something, say something, ask something. What I can tell you is those little moments are the most important part, not just of your whole day, but of maybe your whole year. Like when the Holy Spirit's nudging you and saying, say this thing, do this thing, ask them if they know me, or ask them about their family, or whatever it might be, right? That's the stuff you want to hit a home run on. But if you don't have any connection with Jesus going, if you're just busy, 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 you're going to miss those, right? The big stuff God wants you to get done, in my experience, a lot of it is pretty small in the day-to-day. A lot of it happens in these little interactions, right? But if you're honest and if you're connected to God, it comes up more often. If you're running around, running your mouth, and not very connected to Jesus, you just don't even hear these little things. And so you don't have the impact that Jesus wants you to have, right? Because our effort isn't what helps people. It's that we love God and he does something through us, right? So I want to leave that with you guys. Eddie's going to come up, and then I got a little closing thought for you. So Eddie's going to come up, talk about these baptisms today. Eddie and his wife Sherry and Phil, they lead our baptism ministry. So if you are like, oh, I'm interested in baptism, talk to one of these folks. But thanks, Eddie.
Jokes. Yeah, how many of you were here 2 weeks ago? Okay, yeah, so you remember, right? Okay, 2 weeks ago, we tried to cook some folks, okay? That's the beauty about Maywood, okay? It doesn't have to be perfect every week, all right? It can be a little messy, it's fine. We get through it, okay? So we tried to cook a couple of folks a couple of weeks ago. We got that all ironed out, so thanks to everybody that took place in that, Justin and Joe and all you guys, thanks for helping get that straightened out. Thank you, Lord. All right. Real quick, myself, my wife who's backstage, Phil over there, wave a hand, Phil. We are the facilitators for the baptism class. The next one is going to be on January the 14th. So, Miss Carrie, there you are. Miss Carrie's going to be on the 14th. Anybody else wants to come to join her? If you have already made a commitment to Christ, okay, if you've already committed your heart to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the next step, okay? This is only a step of obedience. Jesus did it to model us for it, to model baptism for us. Chris and his wife were with us last week, so they're getting lined up. If you want to be a part of it, please come see us. The next one will be January the 14th for baptisms towards the end of January. Okay, Brody and Daniel, come on in. Is Laura here? Laura, come on up if you would. Daniel I've known for a while. Most of you guys know who Daniel is. Brody I met just a few weeks ago, and I mean, this guy was adamant. He was like, man, I really want to get baptized before the end of the year. He come up and he and Donna prayed together. He has accepted the Lord as his Savior, and this guy is pretty cool. I mean, he's traveling here quite a ways just to do this. So guys, please pray for this young man, pray for his family. Mom, go ahead and pray for him. We'll get him baptized.
I know.
Okay. All right. Maddie.
Hi. I'm Maddie. I'm his girlfriend. So, okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for him, and I pray for his walk with Jesus, and I pray that he does amazing things and that you can help him through this. In Jesus' name, prayer, amen.
Anna, Judy, come on in. Anna kind of took the long route. We've known each other for quite some time, but she wasn't quite ready. And then when she did get ready, we tried to cook her a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, hey, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I can't figure it out. She has got a fantastic support staff around her, Judy and Pam and Carla and all of them. Pam, why don't you come up? You can pray for her.
I'm just glad to be here. Thank you, Judy, for stepping up. And thank you, Anna, for not getting cooked 2 weeks ago. But I just pray that she continues to follow Jesus. And if she has any questions, don't hesitate to call us sisters, to call anybody at Maywood. And I just continue, and I watch over you, and I pray for you, and I pray for Judy. In Jesus I pray, amen.
That took some bravery. Anna said, well, without my glasses, I can't see anything. Without my hearing aids, I can't hear anything. So, you know, so, well, you better take them hearing aids out before we put you in the water. So that was quite a bit of bravery there. Last but not least, Vicki Highfill, oh, yeah. Nicola Stewart. Gosh, I met Vicki couple months ago, and this lady's been there, done that, and got a lot of t-shirts for it. So, but Lord's been dealing with her, and he woke her up again, and she said, nope, this is it. I got to commit to it. This is real. This is no going back. Jake was talking about an opportune time. They were at the gym working out. Nicola goes, she looks nice. I'm just going to go over and talk to her. Nicola walks over. These two did not know each other. Hey, do you know who Jesus is? Well, yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about that. A couple months later, they're in a baptistry together. So, Vicki, I'm going to pray for you. We'll get you baptized, hon. I know you've been waiting for this for a long time. Father, thank you so much for Victoria. Father, I just pray just every good thing that you have got for her into her life, Father. Bless her relationships. Bless her family, Father. Just surround her with your grace and your mercy. Show her what doors to walk through. Bless her friendship with Nicola. Father, I just pray just every good thing into her life. Build a hedge of protection around her. Protect her and take her to places she never thought possible. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. You've seen it. If you want to be a part of it, let us know. Thank you.
Great stuff. Awesome to see the joy, yeah. Real quick, as we're closing out, just a last thought for you guys. We've got one more slide for you. This idea of Jesus being our shepherd, if you want a song to kind of put that into your head, you can use that little QR code. It's from Sam McCabe. But here's the idea. Is that legacy that John had, he spoke the truth about Jesus, but he had this connection, right, to be able to do that. If you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know what sort of legacy I'm leaving. I don't know if I'm really opening people up to trust Jesus. Like, ask Jesus to shepherd you through each day this week. Say, Jesus, please take the lead with me. I want to know your voice. I want to process things with you. Okay, he'll protect you. He will take care of you, okay? Let me pray a blessing over you guys. Jesus, thank you so much for the new life that you've given Maywood. Thank you for these baptisms. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. I pray we would know your voice and follow you. Jesus, I pray you would know us. Please watch over us and protect us. Thank you for laying down your life for us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.